The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Then he told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
As the congregation is seated, I invite my young friends forward for a children's message, calling all kids.
James, come on.
We had so many kids at first service this morning, they took up all the steps. Well, guess what, guys? Another one of my stupendous drawings. Are you ready? What does this look like? Okay, we've got a car in the picture. What else do we have?
Sign.
What is the sign indicating? What does this thing in the road look like? A bump. A speed bump, right? And the sign is saying speed bump ahead. When you come up on a speed bump in a road, what does the driver need to do? Slow down, because if you go over that speed bump too fast, it's going to shake everything in the car, right? A speed bump you have to go over nice and slow and take your time. Well, today is a new season in the life of the church. Does anybody know what it's called? You can look at the board if you want to cheat. Because it's Advent, right? And Advent is represented by the color blue. Advent is a beautiful time and one of my favorite in the church. Now, anybody able to tell me what 23 days from now is? Christmas, that's right. People usually think of Advent as the countdown to Christmas. But it's actually the slowdown to Christmas. So you see these four candles here? Yeah, I want us to think of those as speed bumps. And to not rush to Christmas, but take our time. Because on the four Sundays of Advent, we hear some beautiful stories and some great words from Jesus that talk about being prepared and waiting and what God has in store for us. But if we rush till Christmas, we're going to miss that altogether. So the important thing is to slow down and on each Sunday of Advent, appreciate it. So one Sunday this week, we have the first candle. Next week, we'll light two. And for four Sundays, we'll be there. Now, after that, it is, of course, Christmas. But we can slow down and appreciate everything. And that's important for both kids and grown-ups to remember. Think we're going to remember that? All right, let's say a prayer before we go back to the story. Good morning, God.
Good morning, God.
Thank you for this day.
Thank you for this day.
And thank you for Advent.
Thank you for Advent.
Help us to slow down.
Help us to slow down.
To pause.
Pause.
And to know your presence.
And to know your presence.
And give us your love.
And give us your love.
So that we can share it.
So that we can share it.
Every day.
Every day.
We love you, God.
We love you, God.
Amen. Thank you all for coming up. You can head back to your seat.
Before I begin my sermon today, a little note. When I arrived at Good Shepherd, my previous congregation in Columbia, South Carolina, in 2010, one of the first people I met was a woman named Sarah. Sarah had daughters in elementary and middle school and was an active part of our youth volunteers. And so even before I had started, she called me and said, well, the first day on the job is going to be a busy one, but we've got a skating party and we'd love for you to come. And so, of course, I accepted because, right, add one more thing to the pastor's first day in a new church. But I did what I always do, and I didn't just say thanks for the invitation. I decided to ask more. Well, I got a lot more. Sarah had just recently been diagnosed with cancer. And so the whole time that I was her pastor for 8 years, we walked through that. We watched her girls grow, but we went through that together too. And this past Tuesday, Sarah's battle with cancer ended, and she entered the kingdom of God. I promised the girls who are now in college that I'd be there. But I didn't think about the fact that they have exams this week and they have to get back, so the funeral is this afternoon at 3 o'clock. So I'm doing something I've never done before, and I'm leaving church early. I'm going to preach and then sneak out. Bye, guys. I'll see you later. And I'm going to be down there with Sarah's daughters and with the community at Good Shepherd, and I will certainly send your love and prayers as well. So I ask for your pardons, but I will be preaching and going. I will still speak slow enough, however, that you can understand. Would you join me in prayer? Almighty God, in the lives that we live, we encounter the brokenness of this world and the brokenness of cancer. And we pray for all those who struggle with it and all those who grieve the loss of life due to this disease. We pray for continued research and for the possibility of curing in the future. But in the meantime, Lord, of knowing your presence, that you are with all those who grieve, especially this day, Sarah and her family. Watch over all those who travel to Columbia and keep us in your grace and guide us in your love in the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Thank you. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So as some of you know, I spent my summers in college along with Catherine working at Luther Ridge, a sleepaway summer camp outside Asheville. And as the routine would go, the time that the counselors had off each day was after getting the campers settled down for the night. They could leave them in the cabins and keep close ear on them, but also go out and hang with their friends for a little bit before their curfew each night. And so there was always a designated patrol, a few people who would stay back and make sure that everything was in good order in all the cabins. That first night, I was assigned patrol, and I had heard about another cabin that was down from mine where the boys might have been just a little rambunctious. Now, it's not uncommon during patrol to have to go and tell a cabin to quiet down or turn off their flashlights, but these guys had plans. They wanted to sneak out. And they wanted to go to the girls' cabin. I don't know what they were going to do when they got there because the girls weren't going to let them in, but probably just stand outside and say, look, we're middle school boys and we don't know what to do. But we thought ahead and we were prepared. We were alert. So what we did is in each of the cabins, the counselor had a little bunk area and we would provide the finest of furnishings, included a metal folding chair. So we took out that chair and we placed it up against the door, which pushed outwards. And after about 15 minutes of them preparing for their stealth maneuver and us just kind of walking with our flashlights, them seeing where we are, all of a sudden we heard the moment. Bam! That door opened and that chair landed on the ground just as hard as it could, and those kids scampered back to bed just as quick as they could. Be alert. Be ready. That's a theme in this gospel text today, and one that starts us in Advent in a rather unique place. We're prone to thinking that Advent is a preparation for the next season, for the Christmas season, for the arrival of the Christ child who would be sent into this world to teach and preach and heal so that we might know the fullness of God's glory in the incarnate notion of God. But before we get to that in the Advent season, with each week, with each speed bump, that sermon was for you all as adults, as much as it was for the kids. With each speed bump, we see Advent starting wide and entering more narrow as we reach the manger. And so what better place to start wide than all of the things that make the heavens shake? that there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars and on earth, distress among the nations, confused by the roaring of the seas and waves. How's that for a peaceful Christmas message? But that's where Advent starts. Advent starts with the reminder of what is to come, what has not yet happened, what Christians have longed and wondered when it would arrive forever. When is the eschaton? When is the end of times? When will Jesus come back once again to judge the living and the dead, as we proclaim in our creeds? And we do not know. And the Apostle Paul didn't know. At first he wrote like it would be soon, and then you watch his writings change throughout the epistles. So many have made guesses, and so many have been made wrong. And Jesus knew that. So what Jesus says in this gospel text, after all of this imagery of fig trees and soon and be ready, is a simple call to be alert. To be alert. But what are we supposed to be alert for? This isn't as easy as waiting for sixth graders to sneak out of a cabin. What are we supposed to be on guard and watching for? I think the words of the petition that I read just a few moments ago from the prayer of our day really capture that. And so I want to read that petition again. By your merciful protection, alert us to the threatening dangers of our sins and redeem us for your life of justice. What do we need to be alert? What do we need to be aware of? What do we need to be ready for? The threatening dangers of our sins. And what Jesus was telling his disciples of this time and all who would hear Scripture forevermore was that the greatest challenge that we face in our life, in our walk, in our understanding of being in the presence of God is that we ourselves in our sinful and broken ways are often the ones who have the hardest problem with that. It is our own sinful nature. It is our own struggle. It is our own bondage to sin which causes us to drift, to be apathetic, to pass by and not care, to completely forget the lost and the lonely and the forsaken. And so what God calls us to do in this text, what Jesus says when he's asking us to be alert, is to be rooted and prepared for what it's like when we lose track of God's presence in our lives and get caught up in the sin and brokenness of our lives around us. Be alert to the threatening dangers of our sins. Sin, brokenness, disconnect from God takes many forms. It can be a lack of doing something. It can be doing too much. It can be hoarding. It can be subscribing to theories that aren't worthy anymore, to isms and archies that we shouldn't be living by. And in the midst of all that, whatever sin is to us, whatever we struggle with, is that challenge of recognizing that that's what disconnects us from God. When I talk about sin with young people in confirmation class, it's a simple definition. Sin is anything that disconnects us from God. Anything that causes us to turn away from God. And that's what Jesus is calling us to be alert for. But Jesus recognizes how hard it is. And nowhere are we going to see that clearly than this year, as with a new year in the life of the church, we have a new gospel to proclaim God's word. In our 3-year lectionary cycle, we've got a year of Matthew, and then last year, a year of Mark, and this year, a year of Luke. And I love the gospel of Luke, but one of its main themes and its greatest challenges is this understanding of paradox. Paradox. Let's break that word down for a second. In Greek, para, which we often simply think of as parallel, really means more something contrary to, right? To be parallel means that the lines never cross, that they're contrary to one another. That's para. And doxion is the verb to think or seem or appear, to have some sort of understanding of. And so paradox together is to be thinking contrary to or acting contrary to what is around us. And throughout Luke, paradox appears over and over again. That Luke is the one that emphasizes most that the King of Glory, that the one who will come to save the earth, is going to show up in the paradoxical form of a baby in a manger. Or what about the words that we hear throughout Luke when in chapter 17 Jesus says phrases like, whoever loses their life will keep it? Or what about simply the death and resurrection of Christ? That those two things come in such contrast to each other that we find ourselves living in that paradox every Holy Week. And even today in this text, as Jesus is preparing his disciples and his followers for what is to come, and he tells them that amidst all of this death and destruction and dissipation and drunkenness, that there's hope and that there's promise. And that's what we need to hear. Because we live in paradox, friends. To be Christian, to live a Christ-like life, to carry out the covenant of our baptism, to do all those things that we are expected to do as children of God, to love our neighbor, means that oftentimes we are in paradox to the world around us. That it is contrary to our way of thinking. That it doesn't gel with what the world tells us. That all of the things we're told to chase after and preserve in life aren't what's important to us in a life of faith. Whether we realize it or not, we live in paradox every day, and Jesus acknowledges that in this text. And we'll feel that throughout our entire year as we go through the Gospel of Luke. But when paradox means be alert, it reminds us that we are aware that we are broken. And we start every worship service before coming before God and acknowledging that we've done things and said things and thought things that we know are wrong, and there were a lot more that we didn't do. But in the midst of all of that, the paradox, the contrary to our brokenness of life, is a promise from Jesus that there is something to come. That the promise is made known to us in our baptisms and at the table. Every time we come and receive just a little piece of bread and just a little sip of wine. How's that for paradox? In the midst of all of that, in those simple little efforts, God promises us forgiveness of sins and life everlasting. And that's what Jesus came into the world to proclaim. So that next night, the metal door made another appearance. But this time it wasn't placed up in the door waiting for the alarm to sound. Rather, it was simply placed next to the door, but placed in a way that those in the cabin could hear it. And they didn't come out. They fell sound asleep, dreaming about what their next day at camp might be. You see, that metal chair didn't have to be placed again because the kids knew what being alert was all about. They knew how they would fall short. They knew that they might get in trouble. And so just the presence of that chair was enough to be a reminder for them. This place, our life of faith, our coming together on Sunday mornings is a metaphorical folding chair. That when we gather, we don't need to be startled. Rather, simply the presence of knowing that a God is with us who acknowledges that we live in paradox and struggle with our broken selves each and every day, but still no matter what loves us, that's powerful. That's the Jesus that we long for. That's who we pray to come. And so in just a moment, as Pastor Carter presides over the table, as I am with Sarah and her family in Columbia this afternoon, as you go out into the world this week, we're going to find ourselves in paradox. But the promise that we live in the midst of all of that is that there is a God who loves us and gives us hope. That those leaves are going to sprout again. That good times are near. And that promises will be fulfilled. May this Advent give us an opportunity to reflect and pause, to slow down, to go over those speed bumps, and to recognize that God is with us. And may we know that that door is always open. Thanks be to God. Amen.